Well, again, good morning, brethren, and greetings to everyone tuning in on the webcast in Charlotte, Hickory, or those tuning in on phone. Nice to have everybody together. We miss being with everyone in one group, but nice to have being involved with a local congregation here. So when we look at the church eras, and we see that the seventh era of the church that is listed in Revelation chapter 3, we see a people here who have lost their focus. Their thinking is twisted. They think they are rich and increased with goods, but have need of nothing. Their view of themselves is pretty good, but that's not what God's view of them is. It's not what he expects from them or what he feels that they should be doing in their lives. Their focus on the spiritual life is not that of seeking and doing God's will. Rather, it is not preparing the bride as well. Their focus is on what they see as being right. If you ever think about if you had a job evaluation and your boss came to you and said, you know what, I think that you're doing what you say to the boss. You're doing what I expected you to do. But you might say, but I come in every day to work on time. I take about 20 minutes for lunch. I stay late every night after work. I don't even check in later that I was here later. I'm coming in. I'm doing everything that is what I'm supposed to be doing, what I see. And the boss responds, yes, the problem is what you think you're doing and making yourself happy. But that's not what I expect from you. He says, it's what the boss expects from the worker that really matters. Why do we think that that should be any different from God in our life? In Revelation 3, we were talking about the church of Laodicea. It says, in spite of how they see themselves, God says, you don't know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You don't really see what you see you are. You think you're doing everything right in your eyes, but you're not doing what I say you should do. Yes, they're keeping the Sabbath, they're keeping the holy days, they're tithing. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are individuals who were doing all the things that they thought that they should be doing, but they weren't doing what God wanted. When our priorities, brethren, are not correct, there is chaos in our lives, whether it's physical or spiritual. Many of God's people are today discouraged, frustrated, and confused, or have allowed others to influence them as to what they think should be important in their lives. One thing then that we see that is lacking today and will be reinstituted to all mankind when Jesus Christ returns is setting the right priorities. How much do people today operate and take things their way? They take the easy way out. They put off the important issues. They sacrifice families for personal desires and interests. I remember years ago hearing about people who would husbands and wives would go on separate vacations. The husband would go one place, the wife would go another place for a week or so, and they'd have their times separated like that. They don't realize the importance of their being together as a husband and wife or family. They didn't see the priority of that. They don't live their lives by doing what's important. Again, every choice that we make, every activity we partake in is based on our priorities. Striving to keep up with other people, comparing ourselves with others. The Bible says we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves. That should not be our priority. Others make a priority of making money. Or the only time people assess their priorities whenever there's a catastrophe occurs in their life. Whenever something catastrophic happens, and then they want to step back and they want to look back over their life and say, what did I do wrong? What did I not see that was important that I did something wrong? How have we viewed our priorities in the past? Have we let our life kept just rolling along? What is the top priority in our life? Is it to be preparing the bride? Is it to be doing God's will? Have we given much thought to what is really important? Let's see how important prioritizing is for us and how we can get back on track. The word priority means greater importance,
preference, urgency, something given special attention. A priority is a concern,
interest, desire that comes before all other things. Priorities, brethren, play a major role in our lives. Even though we all have good intentions, what counts is executing that priority at the right moment, meaning doing the right thing at the right time. To arrange in order of importance, a pattern of harmony, laying a foundation and bringing it into being. But before we make a priority in our life, we need to choose and organize our choices that we're going to make. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 15, I'm reading in the NLT. It says, "Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments, decrees, regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord will bless you and the land that you are about to enter and occupy." Verse 17, he says, "But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen and you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long a good life in the land that you are crossing." So God is telling them here that there's a choice that you have to make, a choice of life and death. If you want to choose life, choose God's way. If you want to choose death, then choose your own way. Verse 19, he goes on and says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make." God knows what we're doing. He sees us. He knows everything in our life that's going on. "Witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." God wants us to have a life. He wants us to be with him. God desires us to choose the right way, and he wants us to be successful. Verse 20, he goes on and says, "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So what's changed, brethren? What's changed from the time that God was dealing with ancient Israel and the time that we are living in today? They were entering the promised land. And we have a chance, brethren, to enter into something that has much greater meaning than they did at that time that they were living. That we'll be walking and entering the kingdom of God. How exciting is that? Is that our priority? God wants us to know how vital it is to have our priorities in order so that we're making the right decisions. Again, we know that priorities are choices that we make, and they are not just good intentions. That tells us what priorities are not. It's not about our intentions. Remember an old saying years ago that the road to the grave is paved with good intentions. Well, the end comes up with nothing then. We yield or give in to whatever we think is important. Priorities, brethren, are not an ideal list that we make. They're not just a list that we create or what we tell people whenever we're asked to tell them what they want to hear that is right. In Ezekiel 33, let's turn there. Ezekiel 33 and verse 30. It says, "As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and by the doors of the houses, saying to each other, 'Come, let us hear the message that has come from the Lord.' My people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice." They're hearing it, but that's not important to make a change for them. With their mouths,
they exude devotion, but their hearts are greedy and full of unjust gain.
How many people, brethren, today refuse to forgive, hold grudges, and have wrong views of other brethren? They'll listen to words that they express devotion, but they're not putting it into practice. How many of these things are we doing that are whatever we hear that God is bringing us, learning how to overcome, how to grow, how to become the bride of Christ. Whenever we talk in terms of what priorities should be, we should talk in religious terms about what we're doing. God is not judging just in our intentions. He's looking at what we're doing with those thoughts that we have that we want to make a priority. Notice in Romans chapter 12, and in verse 1, Paul says here, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So what is our responsibility? To present ourselves a living sacrifice, giving up whatever we have held on to in our life in order to follow God's way. Give up everything. What is important? To follow God's way. Verse 2, he goes on, and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as how he has dealt every man the measure of faith. So there must be a level of humility in how we interact with others. That should be a priority for us. We should not look down on other people, especially brethren in the church. We shouldn't even look down on people in the world. They don't know. If they're not in the church, they don't know the truth. They're doing what they understand. We should look on them as equals, even hold up with a higher plane than what we see ourselves as being. And this takes a conscious effort on our part. And we are to test and prove what God's will is. What is his will? What is God's will? That we are to be transformed from what we were to be what God wants us to become. We have to be careful and not be deceived that we are doing a good job when we are not doing what God wants us to do. He is our boss. And we have to know what it is that he wants us to do in our life. When we don't set priorities, our lives are subject to confusion, whether physically or spiritually. Again, we like to believe we're doing okay, but we constantly are warned about being deceived. What does God say is important? Love the truth. When we don't set our priorities, our life is subject then to confusion and not having that love in our life. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. And the NIV reads, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, listen to what you're being taught by God so that he will see that you understand what he wants. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it in your life. You weren't showing that concern back to Paul. Verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, whatever I'm dealing with in my life, I've come to understand to be content. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every other situation, whether being fed or hungry, whether being living in plenty or in want. Verse 13, he says, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. Paul's life showed that he understands what's important, that he can do everything that God gives him the strength. And we do it in knowing and setting the right priorities. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And these are the Pharisees and Sadducees that were there asking him this. And Jesus, the leaders at that time, and Jesus answered them, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well, master, you have said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all your heart and with all understanding and with all soul and with all strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So Christ here was breaking the Ten Commandments down into two areas. Love God and love your neighbor. Some people want to hold on to the second commandment of love your neighbor. That's a very popular one, especially in the world religions today, Christian religions. They make that their focal point. They have no problems with not committing adultery, nor stealing, or coveting. And when it comes to the first commandment, however, they don't understand. God has not opened their eyes to understand these things. Therefore, they have no obedience to them. And that is the world today. Their priorities are wrong. If they could see that the great commandment is to obey God, then God would help them and open their eyes to see more and understand more. They'd be keeping the Sabbath. They'd be keeping the holy days. They wouldn't be talking and taking God's name in vain. And they'd see that the second commandment as their focus, as one and the other, can then fit in after that. The priority, the first thing, is to be focused on God and Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw that that man answered that way, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that asked him any more questions. So that fellow that was there, even though he was one of the others that weren't on the same page, he had an understanding that Christ says, you know, you are getting close to being in the kingdom of God. It won't be long. He understood the first and the second commandments. He understood the obedience to God. And at baptism, brother, we made a decision to put God first. Is that still our priority today? God and Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God are the first and foremost things to be focused on in our life. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23, Jesus says here, woe to you, scribes and you Pharisees. A few times we hear this in this chapter, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, but yet have neglected the weightier matters of just the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Meaning love, neighbor, and God. Those two commandments there. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strained out a gnat and you swallow a camel. I thought that's kind of funny that he brings that up there. Meaning filtering out a fly from your drink so you wouldn't get that in, but then you swallow a camel. So what are your priorities? What do you think that's right, that's important and not doing, even though they were both unclean animals? Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they, meaning you, are the two examples there of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of violence and selfishness. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup, that the outside of them may be clean also. So they were concerned with what they were concerned only with what the outside of something looks like. But Jesus told them that the inside was what mattered, what was important. Yes, it was right to tithe, but the priority was judgment, mercy, and faith. And they were omitting the priority. They were doing what they saw for years should be done. It's okay, it's easy to tithe. It's easy to keep the Sabbath and the holy days. But they didn't want to do the important things that God, that Christ was telling them here. He didn't say those other things weren't important, but these were something that you were omitting in your life. Whatever we are omitting in our relationship with God, we have to be clear on that and know and not do that. Too often people cannot prioritize because they take things out of order. I one time heard a speaker say to an audience that when you have a list of tasks to do, you should complete the easy task first and leave the harder task for later. That was an interesting way of presenting that. But there was another example that I heard of setting priorities, and it was a speaker lecturing a group of business students and to drive a point to them home. He used an illustration. And the illustration was using an empty jar.
And he filled the jar with fist-sized rocks. And the audience asked him, and he asked the audience if the jar was full. So he had this jar, took these rocks that were the size of his hand, put them into the jar, fill it all up, and then asked them if the jar was full. And they replied with yes, it looks full. And then he said, really? But he proceeded to take a bag of gravel and put it into the jar. Soon he shook the jar and filled the gravels along with the rocks. And then he asked the group once more, is the jar full? By this time, the class was onto him, and they said, probably not. And one of them answered and he proceeded to add a bag of sand now to the jar, shaking it around until the sand and the gravel and the rocks were all packed in together. And once more, he asked the question, is the jar full? And again, no. And he proceeded to add a bottle of water, which absorbed into the sand, filling all the spaces that the sand and the gravel and the rocks could not fill. It was unbelievable how much he fit into that jar. And then he asked them, do you know what the lesson is? And a student answered and said, the lesson is that you can always fit something more into the jar. And the speaker replied, no, that is not the lesson. The lesson is that if you don't put the big things in first, or the rocks, you'll never get them in at all. Because if you fill it up with water and sand and pebbles, you're not going to get the rocks into the jar. And what were the rocks? The rocks were the bigger, important things that they were supposed to be putting in first, but they weren't. They didn't see the importance. What are the big rocks in our lives, brethren? What are the big, important things in our lives that we are ignoring, thinking that we can put them off later, doing easy things first, not the way that God wants us to do it, the right way? Because you'll get tired after all the little things that are put in, and not want to bother with the big things after. So once we take care of the little things, we're not going to see any value in the important big things that are there. Whenever we are desiring to set priorities, remember to put in the big rocks first, spiritually. The focus is what are the important things that you want to accomplish, or you'll never find the way to get them in at all. Spiritual growth results from learning to put the right things in first. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at another example, this time from the Bible, not from a lecture from a teacher. Luke chapter 10, we'll see here an example that Christ is showing us. Luke 10 and verse 38, example of Martha and Mary. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus Christ's feet. And she heard his word. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve in the kitchen by myself? She said, go ask her that she could come and help me. She was so busy doing many things. She was doing serving. She was actually serving. She was doing something important, right? So serving is not wrong. Serving is good, as long as your attitude is right and the priority of that serving is right. The problem here was her priority. What was she doing? Going on, verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Wow, you're letting all these things really eat at you this way. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that needful thing, that good part which shall never be taken away from her. Mary's priority was something that would not be taken away. She would not lose it. Martha was so upset after this all happened. How many people do things and serve others, and maybe they thought they were looked at in a wrong way. They didn't appreciate what I was doing and the way that I was doing it, so now I'm upset with them. How about us doing that? Are we still having that wrong view of things, not knowing that was the priority? Martha chose what she thought was important. Just as we read Laodicea chooses what it thinks is important. But Christ says it's not. We sometimes think it's important, brethren, for husbands to go to work for long hours to support the family.
And yes, it's important. I'm not saying that's not important. Just like Martha serving in the kitchen was important. It's important. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5,
Paul tells us that if any provides not for his own, especially for those of his own case,
he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So yes, it's important that he does provide for his own, have a job, take care of the family. But it's important, brethren, that we are to show love and concern as well. As I said, men can be working long hours, mothers leaving the home and working along as well to go provide things, all the physical things in their life that they think they need. Is that all that we provide? Parents also, brethren, need to provide emotional things for the family, help along with the spiritual needs of the family, comfort, support, encouragement. How many parents are providing what their children really need, especially in the world we're in today, where they're learning things that are sick and horrible in the school world? Are they hearing the right thing from their parents that's going to give them the right encouragement and help? Their priorities are not what we are doing, much like we need to work. Our priorities are in the wrong way. Are we sacrificing our families, not only physically, but even spiritually as well? Again, nothing wrong with going to work. Nothing wrong with making pasta and meatballs in the kitchen when you're having people over for dinner. But what's the priority of this? Because
we're
going to
be here.
Another example years ago about somebody named Charles Francis Adams. He was the son of President John Quincy Adams and the grandson of President John Adams. And he served to be served President Lincoln during the Civil War. A very successful diplomat, he kept a diary. And one day he entered into the diary, "I went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." And his son, Brooke, went fishing that day with his dad. He also kept a diary, which is still in existence today. And on the same book, Brooke Adams made his entry and said, "Went fishing with my dad today, the most wonderful day in my life." Charles, the father, was there for his son, but he didn't see the value and the importance of how it affected his son, what should be being done and how he viewed it. He was just doing it there out of a ritual or something that he had to do. He didn't see the priority of being there with his son, since he did so much traveling in his life that he wouldn't be there to take care of his family the way he should. So again, we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. He was there for him for that day, but not for the right reason. We must know, brethren, what is most important. Again, both sisters were honoring Jesus that day, but Mary only chose the spiritual.
Psalm 119 and verse 30. Psalm 119 and verse 30, Paul, David says here, "I have chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws."
David was focused on what was most important, choosing the way of truth and God's laws. Verse 31, he goes on, "I hold fast to your statutes. O Lord, do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free." David saw not only the priorities but the benefits of having those priorities in his life. Another parable that we can read about was in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 16. It says, "The ground of a certain rich man had produced good crop, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of goods laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you have this very night your life will be demanded from you, taken from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for you, for yourself? What's going to happen to all this stuff that you've saved and put away?' Verse 21 says, 'This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God.'" That means having a rich relationship with God. Being rich toward God means giving up all that we have held as being important and putting Him first in our life. That's being rich toward God. That's seeing what's most important for us. Having all that stuff put into the barn and filled so he'll have a good retirement for himself later on. Again, the physical things will not be of importance. That fellow did not have a deep, close relationship with God. Is God so actively involved in our lives that every decision we make, every little thing that we do is based on what God wants for us? That none of the physical things is a priority or more important to us? So what are we hanging on to? 1 John chapter 2, one more verse. 1 John 2, verse 15. John tells us here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't make this world your priority. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is in the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. The physical things in this world are not important to us, brethren. Yes, God will make those things available to us. His grace and his love, his mercy, his kindness to us. He'll give us whatever we need in our life. But how many things do we have in our life that we think we need and make that important that we have to go and take care of it? You ever think about one? We're going to talk about Mary when she was with Jesus. That was the important thing, not doing the physical things. Nothing wrong with doing the physical, but it's not the priority. The second point we want to look at would be to redeem the time, or meaning to recapture the time of our life, not let it go. Turn to the book of Haggai. Notice some examples here of some of priorities that Israel had, that they should have had. Haggai, the book was written around 520 BC, very close to the end of the Old Testament. And the message of the book is, it's time to finish rebuilding the temple. That's the message of the book. 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar defeated Judah and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And in 538 BC, Cyrus permitted the Jews to return unto Jerusalem. Zerubbabel. And in 536, they laid the foundation when they got back. And because of the opposition of the Samaritans that were there on the work of the temple, then stopped. And it was never continued. They caught up in their building of their cities, their houses, their farms, their plants. And 16 years later, in 520 BC, along comes Haggai and brings four brief messages that were the priorities that were left out. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And this is what the Lord Almighty said. These people say the time has not yet come for the house to be built. So God knew what was in their heart and mind. They did not say that they would not build a temple at all. Not yet. It's not an all good time right now. We'll do it all in a good time. There are things, there are other things that need to be done first. They needed to do it, but they just never got around to doing it. I want to do it for us, but I'm just too busy. Or it's easy to make excuses why we're not doing the things that we know we should be doing to change in our life rather than obey God. They determined that their personal concerns were more important, like building the houses, that they made all kinds of excuses as why they could not rebuild the temple right now. They had complaints over bad weather, crop failure, loss of cattle, other circumstances that they could not see, that God was not blessing them for the very thing that they were complaining about. They were complaining about things, but God wasn't blessing it because they were making that a priority. That's why they could not build a temple. We can find lots of excuses not to do what God tells us, brethren. Verse 3 goes on and says, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house remains in a ruin? The temple of God remains in a ruin? Now is this what the Lord Almighty says? This is now God telling them something important. Give careful thought to your ways. Consider what you're doing with your time. He's giving them a key here. Too often we don't give any thought to what and why we do the things. No planning, no forethought. Time to take inventory of what is important to us. Clearly a case of not prioritizing. Verse 6, it goes on and says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never are full. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it, or go to Amazon, or use your credit card until you have to pay the extra money every month on it. If our lives are out of sync or missing the blessing, we need to ask ourselves, are we in harmony with God? Do we see the kingdom of God, that God is not made up things yet on this earth? Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32. Jesus says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give your alms, provide yourselves money, bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where there is no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Was their treasure building his temple for Israel? No. Is our treasure doing what God has told us to do every day in our life? Do we see the priority that the kingdom of God is not made up of things on the earth? Going back in Haggai again, verse 7, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, be careful the thoughts of your ways. So we need to be careful that we are keeping track of what God is telling us. Verse 8, it says, go up to the mountain, bring down timber, build a house, so that it may take pleasure in and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but I see it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. They didn't see the priority of having that temple finished. They were quitting and putting off and having other priorities going on in their life. In verse 10, it goes on and says, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld. The dew and the earth and its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. And then Zerubbabel, the son Joshua, the son of Zadok, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and his message to the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord, and they finally got the point that they needed to do was to finish building the temple. But they suffered along the way. Do we have to suffer in our life, brethren, because we are stubborn or don't want to put the first things first that God wants for us? That God needs to teach us lessons that we're not learning and what we're supposed to be doing? Are we doing our part today in building the temple of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So are we seeing here the same example as Israel had to go through? That God was upset with them for not doing what they were supposed to do? The foundation was laid as soon as they returned from captivity, but they distracted and they lost sight of the priority. And it took them 16 years and then the intervention from God to get it going again. Where are we in the preparation of the bride of Christ? As members of that glorious temple that Haggai and his prophecies should be a wake-up call for us to be taking careful thought in everything that we're doing in our life today. We are now in the process, brethren, of building that temple. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto the holy temple in the Lord." We are part of that temple that's being built now. Is that our priority? Where will we be when Christ returns? Will we be in that kingdom with him? Or will we be focusing on the physical things that are distractions in our lives that are going to take us away from him? How many things today are still wasted on meaningless things like TV? How many hours are spent watching TV? I remember hearing some years back, children were watching TV for like 8 or 10 hours a day. And what about the parents? Where do they learn that from? We cannot correct mistakes, brethren, of our past. Wherever we are today, we move forward. We repent before God and step forward, asking him for the wisdom to make right decisions and the right choices and priorities for our lives. Do we have the urgency then to be building the temple of Christ when he returns? Are we learning the lessons of those who had their priorities misplaced? The third point in setting our priority is to be diligent. We need to be diligent. That means having painstaking effort, eager, zealous. We have to keep Proverbs 4 and 23. I'll turn to that. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." From the heart will come the issues of life. I keep it with diligence, importance, zealous. Let's notice a couple of other examples of King David, who had a strong relationship with God, a man after God's own heart. He was a man who made mistakes in his life, many that we know about, a man who realized that when the mistakes were made, he was to need to repent and then move forward and go on. Psalm 27 in verse 4. Psalm 27 in verse 4. He says here, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will be to seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold, the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple." Above all else, the one thing David desired was to dwell with God and be in the house with his Lord. God has all the answers. We're here to inquire of God, to ask him whatever we need to know that we need to be doing that we don't see. What have I been doing that has been meaningless in my life that I need to be doing that's important now? Put that in our prayer list to ask God what to do. Some people have loved to spend their time in debating to further their personal agendas or in some way to tear others down. They have more important things in their mind about debating about things. Let's talk about how I view it or how I see that it should be right. Now, we should not be doing that. We should be focusing on what God wants. We are to come before God to inquire in his temple, to be there to ask him what we need to do so that we can grow. Verse 5 with Psalm 27, it goes on. It says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacles, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer this tabernacle of sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will praise the Lord." Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer. When you said," verse 8, "seek my face, hear my heart, said unto you, thy face, Lord, I will seek. So David is saying, when I saw what you said, I'm going to do that. When you said, seek my face, yes, I will seek your face. Hide not your face far from me, not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He realized that even his parents, our parents, could forsake us in some way, but God will never leave us. David had his priorities right. He knew that the correct priorities would bring happiness, knowing what is it that God wants for us to do. What is it that God wants us to do? Again, brethren, we are now in training to be teachers in the world tomorrow, like that instructor that the young people had to hear. People in the world tomorrow are going to learn to know what are right priorities. What will we be doing? And we'll be teaching them. But if you don't learn something, how good of a teacher will you be? So I think it's pretty important that we need to be focused on learning what we're learning now to be used later in that kingdom of God. A good teacher knows his subject, again, and a good teacher should be living that subject. So we need to be doing that. You know, having wrong priorities is like buttoning your coat incorrectly. You ever done that? Where you put the wrong button on first, and then all the other buttons are out of whack? And that's what doing our wrong priorities is like that. If we're not putting our priorities first, everything is going to get out of whack, like the buttons that are misplaced. We are right now looking toward the kingdom of God, and we are talking about being part of the bride of Christ. This is not just a Sabbath conversation. It is what we should be participating in between the Sabbaths, every day of our life. These are the priorities. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take the thought for itself, for the things of itself. That means that we are to be setting our priority of making God's kingdom the first and most important thing in our life. We want to put the most important things first, and that means that God and Christ and our relationship with them, is that our priority? Is that something that we see as being important? Through the years, have we seen and heard enough about the most important thing in our life is having a close relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father? We're to seek out the important things first. Those are the big rocks in our life. And all the other things, they will fit in. And unless the goal is always in our sight, we will not obtain it. We not only have to keep priorities, but they have to be right in the forefront in our mind, not in the back. Again, that word seek that he says, seek first. That word seek means to inquire intensely, to demand or to crave. And first means importance or of priority, not just doing something in order. The most important thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are to seek and search out the important things and take care of the big rocks in our life. And all other areas of our life will begin to fit in their appropriate place in our life. Unless the goal, brethren, is always in our sight, we will not attain it. The kingdom of God and making the bride ready is what that should be our focus. Let's recognize what are the important things in our life. God, Jesus Christ is along with him, our families, including the church, and our jobs, the things that we do in our life. Those are the priorities of things. First, it's God, family, and then the physical things are later. What we think is important may not be, brethren, a priority. So let's remember, we need to be focused, one, on what's most important in our life, and that's what God reveals, and that we ought to redeem the time and make most of the time that we have until Christ returns. We don't know how long we'll be here. We don't know how long our time will be that we have to make the right decisions and then have our time with Christ and the Father. And third point was to be diligent about setting and living our priorities. Let's conclude in Deuteronomy 10 in verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But you fear the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good," to keep them, to do them. He's saying what God requires of you is to be doing these important things in our life. Brethren, as the future bride of Christ, let's keep our priorities properly in order. We have a tremendous opportunity by God's grace to be a part of the family of God and to be a part of the bride of Christ. Let's not lose our focus. Let's keep our sight clear and what our goal and what we're looking at. The kingdom of God and his righteousness is what we need to make the bride ready. Let's be sure that we're putting that in our priorities.